Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Let me be the first to say good morning to you from 93.7 The Fan. This is the early morning show. I'm Matt Cole here, live and local from the Green Tree Studios, 503 on a Tuesday morning. It's the start of a new day brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center. The start of a very snowy day, a very cold day, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not there yet. I can't accept it yet in my mind. I can't accept that winter is here, that it's right around the corner, that, well, it's arrived at this point. I mean, I came in with snow flurries hitting my windshield this morning, but I just haven't mentally accepted it. But I'll tell you one person who has, and that's my wife, who wanted to put up Christmas decorations last night. She mentioned that. I'll have you know that I held off at this point, but it's coming around the corner, and eventually I'm going to have to give in to that, but I'm not there yet. I'm not there for the cold, but it's here. Anyway, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they are on an accelerated schedule this week, facing the Cleveland Browns on a Thursday night, and Thursday night football is just a weird concept to me. It just is. Most of the time, it's not good football whenever two teams come together in the middle of a week, whenever they normally have a full week to prepare. Again, the idea for this, I'm not, in love with. But here we go, Steelers and Browns on Thursday night, and a big storyline coming into this game is the status of one James Conner and his potential availability for this game. And James Conner met with the media yesterday and talked about his status.
As of right now, I'm feeling good and things are looking very confident for me playing on Thursday. So, I think I'll be good. But, no guarantees, but I'm making a lot of progress.
And so James Conner said that to the assembled media, and then he joined the PM team for what has become the James Conner Injury Update Show, which it's been that way since, I think, the L.A. Chargers game where he was banged up. And just about every week, the first question they ask James Conner is, hey, how you feeling? Are you going to play this week? What's going on with you? So he joins the PM team yesterday and had this to say.
Shoulder's been feeling better. And, me not playing last game, it gave me some more time to heal up. So, I'm going to try it out. I think I'll be good.
So it seems like all positive news for James Conner. As he says he's ready to go, Mike Tomlin was optimistic, saying that he would have practiced fully yesterday if they would have had a practice. So James Conner's possible return and likely return at this point brings up two questions for me. One, should he change up his style when he comes back, his style of running? And two, if not, how does he stay healthy? Because clearly this is an issue. Clearly, he has problems staying out on the field. He's had it since his college days at Pitt, regardless of the cancer stuff. That's just completely a separate issue. But actual, on-field injuries, he had problems with that at Pitt. He had problems with that with the Steelers so far in his professional career, going back to his rookie year, he missed some time. I'm never going to feel good about him staying healthy. He seems a little bit fragile. Also, he takes a lot of extra hits. That's just the way that he plays. So the first question there is, can he change up his running style? He seems like a guy that only knows how to play one way. And I don't know that if a running back, there's a lot of positions that I think you can change your game. You can change the way you play. Like, I think a lot of people have done that, especially at the quarterback position over the years. Maybe Cam Newton should have done this earlier, but I think of Cam Newton as a guy who did this. A guy who took off and took hits early on in his career, wasn't afraid to do so, wasn't afraid to take off in the pocket and run down the field and use his stature and his abilities to make plays with his feet. Later on in his career, and now that he's injured, definitely, but he has sat in the pocket more and he's been using his arm a little bit more and not taking those hits. I think quarterbacks can change their game a lot more than maybe any other position. With a running back, I don't think it's possible. I think guys know how to play one way, and they've played it all their career. And for James Conner, it's being physical. It's taking those extra hits. It's trying to run people over. So I don't think he can change and still be as effective. Now, James Conner, I don't think, and staying healthy, the second part of that question, how does he stay healthy? I don't think he's a workhorse back. He can be a special player, and he is a special player. He can be a playmaker and a game changer, but just not by himself. I think we've got to, I would at least, if I was the Pittsburgh Steelers, I would look at who he is and who I think that he is. I think he's less Ezekiel Elliott and less Saquon Barkley, less of these workhorse backs, and more of, say, a Tevin Coleman in San Francisco, who was in action last night. Now, if you look at his stat line, he had 9 carries for 40 yards last night in San Francisco's game against Seattle, which I'll get into here in the next segment if you missed that. And he also had 4 receptions for 32 yards. I don't think that's exactly how James Conner should be used, but something similar, where he's a guy that gets maybe 10 carries, maybe a little bit more than 10 carries on the ground, and then gets 4 or 5, maybe more, receptions out of the backfield. I think another guy that I would compare James Conner to and how he should be used moving forward is Devontae Freeman out in Atlanta. He averages about 13 carries with about 4 or 5 receptions out of the backfield, and he's still very effective for them and is still a big part of the offense. They should work to take the load off of James Conner as he comes back. I don't think if they play him the same way they have throughout this season and through last year, and really his whole career, then I think they are making a big mistake. And Jalen Samuels not being able to run the ball effectively has suddenly become a big problem, because an even bigger problem for this running back situation in Pittsburgh is falls all the way back to a rookie in Benny Snell. That Benny Snell injury looks bigger and bigger, because they need it's clear now that the Steelers need to invest in another option in the backfield that can run the ball. Jalen Samuels does a lot of good things. He's a weapon offensively in that he is a running back. Technically, he can run the ball and has shown to be effective in the past, although he hasn't been this year. But he's a great pass catcher. And so he's kind of a hybrid player that plays in today's NFL. Those guys can have success. But I think you need a guy like Benny Snell, who's more physical, to complement James Conner and take those actual carries away from Conner so he doesn't get as beat up. And so that injury to Snell, him not being available, just looks bigger and bigger every single week. And they need to invest in another option to take it off of James Conner. But the scariest part of this whole conversation, and you can change the way that you use Conner, or maybe you have conversations about him changing up his style, which I don't think will happen. I don't even think that's a conversation that they have with James Conner. But the scariest part in this whole thing is whether or not this conversation is all a moot point, or a mute point, as Bill Cowher would say. Is the offensive line just flat out bad in run blocking? That's the factor that you can't control, no matter how you play James Conner, or if Benny Snell comes back, or what Jalen Samuels does. Then Miami was the first game that James Conner had ever come close to going over 100 yards, and he had 145 against the Dolphins before he got injured. The Steelers had only gone over 100 yards as a team once before Miami, and that was 124 against the Chargers. And so that tells me that it might be more than just James Conner, and that the offensive line, there is a huge issue there with run blocking in general. The pass protection has been, I think, decent. It's a little skewed because Mason Rudolph holds onto the football for too long, and so he gets hit more than maybe he should, and for what the offensive line has blocked for him. But run blocking has been a tremendous issue. And if that is at the root of all problems for the running back situation and just the imbalance offensively for the Steelers, then we've got much bigger problems than how you use James Conner. Coming up next, Seahawks and 49ers last night. A tremendous game. If you missed any of that, I'll go over that from Monday Night Football. Also, Pat Narduzzi's a little riled up. I'll go over that as well. And Mike Tomlin moments, a little bit of an abbreviated version of that today because he didn't get into as many things. I think he was a little bit on the short week. Maybe he wasn't quite himself, but he did have a few big things that he had to say yesterday. So I'll go over that as well as the impact of a short week for Steelers and Browns coming up on Thursday night. That's all on the way. It's the Early Morning Show on 93.7 The Fan. It's the Early Morning Show here on 93.7 The Fan. The time is 5:17. Brought to you by Goodrich & Geist. Get the good guys, Goodrich & Geist, Pittsburgh's personal injury attorneys. Big game last night, Monday Night Football, Seahawks and 49ers. If you missed it, there was a lot of fireworks in this one. Let's go over it. 49ers took their undefeated record against their NFC West foes in the Seattle Seahawks last night on Monday Night Football. Before the game, I guess there's this new phenomenon now where these quarterbacks do like these weird hip thrust exercises. And so the cameras love to catch these guys doing these hip thrusting things. And be careful in Googling this, but if you do, you'll see Dak Prescott doing it before the Cowboys game last night or two nights ago on Sunday night. And then last night, Jimmy Garoppolo was doing the same thing. I don't know if that was just because he saw Dak Prescott doing it. I don't know if they've always done it throughout the year, but apparently that's something that the people are enamored with. But anyway, going to what happened on the actual field last night, the defenses were really on display in this one with the Seahawks and 49ers. Each team had a defensive touchdown and three takeaways in regulation, and each team traded field goals at the end to send it into overtime. So this one went into overtime at 24. And Seattle hit one with just under 2 minutes left. And then Jimmy G led the 49ers down the field to kick a field goal with 1 second left to send it into overtime. So it was already a crazy game to begin with. And then overtime started. So Seattle got the ball first. The Seahawks drove all the way down the field in the first possession of OT. And Russell Wilson was picked off at the 4-yard line. And that was only his second interception of the season. And only the second red zone interception in overtime in the last 25 years. So definitely unexpected for Russell Wilson to turn the ball over that deep in San Francisco territory. You have to wonder why they're even throwing the ball that deep in San Francisco territory if they're set up for a field goal. But it was the first possession of overtime, so I guess they were still trying to score a touchdown there. But the return went to the Seattle 49. San Francisco moved it 20 yards from there, and so they set up Chase McLaughlin, who was in the game and was on the team because Robbie Gould went down with a quad injury. So in comes this McLaughlin guy who had made three field goals before this and is setting up for a 47-yarder to try to win the game.
Oh, he punched at it! And it had no chance at all. Low and off to the left.
Yeah, probably too big a moment for that guy. So he misses the potential game winner for San Francisco. That call from ESPN, of course. So then the teams traded punts. A little bit of controversy and criticism on the San Francisco side as Jimmy G threw three incompletions in a row and only knocked off 14 seconds on the clock to give Seattle the ball back with a minute and 25 remaining. So why they threw the ball three times there to only eat up 14 seconds of game clock. I'm sure Kyle Shanahan's going to have to answer questions about that. He did post-game and said that, hey, you know, we were looking to complete one of those. You figure one of the three passes are going to be completed, but they could not. And so they gave Seattle a minute and 25 remaining, and with Russell Wilson and the boys, that was enough. So they took over from the 36-yard line, just over a minute left, and attempted a field goal with 3 seconds left. It's a win or a tie situation. Jason Myers comes on for the Seahawks.
And Seattle has done it in a classic. and San Francisco suffers their first loss. Russell Wilson, put on that cape again.
So there you go. Seattle beats San Francisco, hands them their first loss of the year, 27-24 final score in overtime on Monday Night Football last night. If you missed any of that action, maybe you went to sleep a little bit early, especially if you're up 5 at 5:21 this morning. Coming up next, some Mike Tomlin moments from yesterday. He addressed the media in his weekly press conference. There were some interesting things that he had to say, including one cliche that he's going to more repeatedly this time of year. And also, how does this short week affect things with Steelers and Browns? I'll get into some of that. That's all up next on the Early Morning Show. It's the start of a new day, brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center. I'm Matt Cole. It's the Early Morning Show. Pit coach Pat Narduzzi, is a little mad.
Really don't think about it much until this week. I thought about it. I was like, you know, what are we doing here? But, it's kind of, you look at it and go, it's not good for the ACC. Playing on the same night as an NFL franchise in your same city. It'd be different if the Cowboys were playing, the Seattle Seahawks or something.
Yeah, Pat, of course, talking about Pitt playing the same night as the Pittsburgh Steelers, of course, both playing on Thursday night, Pitt taking on North Carolina and the Steelers taking on the Cleveland Browns. Look, I get it. I understand what Pat Narduzzi is saying here, and I would be upset as well if I were him, that we're playing a primetime game the same night, same day, same night as a team, the professional team, in the same city. I understand it, but it looks desperate. It really does for Pat Narduzzi, I think. You know it's going to be the thing that makes the headlines the most, right? That you're going to make those comments, you're going to say that it's stupid or that we shouldn't be doing it, what are we doing here? And that's what's going to be coming out the most from the lead up to this game. Is that really what you want your head coach to be making headlines saying coming into a primetime game? Is that not enough people are going to watch it? I think it looks a little bit desperate for eyes on the program. And it's okay to not say anything, to not comment on it if you get asked about it. I think it's okay to just say, you know what, I'm not going to get into it. To pull a Mike Tomlin, as I'll get into some of the things that he had to say from yesterday in his press conference. Just say, you know what, I'm not going to comment on that. It is what it is. I think Narduzzi would have been a lot better in going in that direction than what he just said there, because it's going to bring all the attention on and all the spotlight onto those comments instead of the actual game coming up on Thursday. And speaking of Mike Tomlin, he addressed some injury things yesterday. Ola, Chickalo, Switzer banged up. James Conner would have been full if they practiced. Feels good about Ramon Foster coming back. Nix and Snell not feeling good about them. And it's such as life season for Mike Tomlin. He said that three different times yesterday, twice in describing the Browns and then once when describing the offensive line and just the shuffling there. Ended with, you know, such is life in the NFL, and also threw in a sands in the hourglass when talking about the Browns' defense, which was not a new one, but one that he dusted off for the first time this year, I believe, when talking about the Browns' pass rush and getting rid of the ball, and it's like sands in the hourglass, so good on Mike Tomlin there. He also said that there was a thoughtful process in choosing Ryan Switzer over Deontay Johnson, and man, that was just such a comical moment from Sunday's game where Ryan Switzer just looked like he turned into a rabbit in headlights whenever he was trying to return that punt from the 10-yard line, which he probably had no business fielding in the first place. But then, like, you know how you turn the corner and the rabbit is sitting right in the middle of the road, and then all of a sudden he freaks out and he can't decide which direction he wants to go to try to get out of your way. That's kind of what Ryan Switzer did yesterday on Sunday. And so, I mean, that situation, he's got a back injury, Switzer does. No big deal, really. But what is a pretty big deal offensively are the drops, and showed up again on Sunday. Mike Tomlin addressed those.
We don't. You know, we don't get an opportunity to practice very much. You can talk about it, but talking about it is just a part of it. This guy's got to make plays when given an opportunity. They're receivers. And so, if you spend a lot of time talking to receivers about receiving, you got problems.
You do have problems, and maybe there are some problems with this receiving core. There's been drops everywhere, and from the top down, from your number one guy in Juju Smith-Schuster to Deontay Johnson to James Washington to Vance McDonald, it's been everywhere, and there's no solution, I guess. Mike Tomlin just said that, but it's just a matter of catching the ball when the ball comes to you. Mike Tomlin also addressed not only the passing game, but the running game.
Not only in terms of the ball carrier themselves, but just some of the supplementary guys. You know, we've had some Rosie Nix's availability has been spotty at best. We've had some tight end issues and things of that nature.
I mentioned in the first segment how they should go about using James Conner as he comes back, likely to come back on Thursday, how it should be more of a split backfield. But I think for this week, with Rosie Nix probably not going to be in there and Benny Snell probably not going to be in there, that pretty much eliminates your power packages and running the football outside of James Conner. So you're probably going to have to run him in the same way because you don't have any help beside him or in front of him in the case of Rosie Nix. There's no help there for James Conner, so I'm assuming that he's going to get close to 20 carries again on Thursday if he's healthy, and they've got to kind of use him that same way. They don't really have much of a choice. And then Mike Tomlin, to wrap things up here on the Early Morning Show, talked about the short week, and in particular with Mason Rudolph.
I'm sure there's challenges every time he faces something that he's never done before, but not anything that's going to, you know, change how we approach what it is that we're doing or create additional angst.
So the Browns are 3-6 coming into this game. They just beat the Buffalo Bills 19-16. The Bills, the ultimate fraud squad in the NFL this year. So I don't really take a whole lot from that win. But what does concern me, and maybe that's a question of the day that you can talk to your friends about or whatever to get the conversation going, does the short week scare you in this matchup? Clearly, the Steelers have been, maybe not clearly, but the Steelers have been, in my opinion, the better team this season. At 5-4, the Browns at 3-6, even though they've been in just about every game this year. The Thursday night game definitely scares me a little. They're usually uglier games with wacky stuff happening. And it's not uncommon for one team to just not show up completely. I think of the Steelers blasting Carolina last year on Thursday night football. Remember that when Antonio Brown drove 100 miles an hour on McKnight Road earlier that day, and then they went out on the field and dominated the Panthers, and the Steelers won like 52-24 or something like that. It's not uncommon for those kinds of things to happen on Thursday night. Kansas City beat Denver this year 30-6. The Jaguars beat the Titans 20-7 already in a Thursday night game this year. And then the Jaguars came back later on this year and got beat by the Texans 26-3 on Thursday night. So it's just a complete toss-up sometimes as to what team is going to be most prepared for these games. And it's not also guaranteed that a home team wins either, which is a good thing for the Steelers. 6 out of the 10 teams that have won Thursday night games have been the away team this year. So the home field advantage pretty much goes out the window, but it's just a matter of being prepared for that short week. And although it scares me to play on a Thursday night, I also have comfort. I seek comfort in Mike Tomlin going up against Freddie Kitchens on the other side. I don't have a whole lot of confidence about Mike Tomlin preparing for a short week, but he's got a whole lot of experience, a lot more experience doing it, and is probably a lot better at it and is much better at his job, I know that, than Freddie Kitchens is on the other side for Cleveland. That's it for me. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, Route 19 in the South Hills. Black Friday is not just one day, it's every day in November at Sun Chevrolet. Today, snow showers throughout the day and a high of 32, and then tonight, near record low temperatures, a low of 17. So there's that. Pre-show on the way.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.